Good morning and welcome to Emmett Audio. So yesterday I built the frame, or most of the frame, for this new shed. And there's something that I utilized when I built it that I wanted to talk about today. Which is, when you build something like that, there's a modern way of doing it where you, say, plan everything out using a tape measure. You figure out exactly where you want all of the connection points to be. You figure out the exact length of the posts. You figure out exactly how everything should be. You cut it all on the ground and then you put it in place. And woe be it upon you if you measure wrong. And there's another way of doing it. And I'll describe the difference. So when I gotten to the point where I was putting the rafters on, I intuitively knew that I needed to put on the end two rafters on either end to help get the posts to plumb, because the way the footings are and the way that I cut things, there's just a lot of, like, the posts are kind of leaning a little bit loose, and so the process of cross bracing everything and putting those rafters on is part of your opportunity to get all the posts nice and plumb. And you do that partly by where and how you attach the rafters. So I did the end two rafters, and then I was thinking, okay, how many rafters do I need in between? How many inches apart should they be? And I marked them all out, and then I realized, when I actually laid them out, that there was a much more obvious way to do it, which is, you know, it's a six-post shed. So four on each corner, and then two in the middle of the span. Because it's like 7 by 12, something like that. And so the logical way to do the rafters is you have one on either end, and then you have one that goes right across between those two middle posts, and then you split the difference and then do one in between. You know, essentially you have now split the difference in half. Now you take each of those halves and you split it in half with a rafter. And those were still a little too far apart, so I split each of those spaces in half with a rafter. And that gave me rafters that were about a foot and a half apart. And the key is, I didn't have to measure a damn thing. I just eyeballed it. And once I intuitively understood, like, okay, you know, this is the obvious spacing. Like, I could do it measured and try and take this 12 foot 3 inches that these beams are, that I didn't bother cutting down to 12 feet, try and figure out where the center line is, should be for each of them, and mark it and make sure that each one lined up with the center line. Or I could just eyeball the damn thing and just keep splitting things in half, splitting the distances in half, right? Each side gets, there's one on each end and one in the middle, and then each of the remaining sides gets three rafters distributed among them, among the space, right? And that's so much more intuitive. No, Willa, you do not eat cow poop. No. So much more intuitive to work that way, to build that way. And it's a good reminder, like, people have been building beautiful, intuitive structures without a measuring tape or even a measuring stick for millennia. And how did they do it? Well, they did it based on proportions. And so everything about this shed is done by eye. You know, I figured out the length of the sheet metal that I'm using for the roof. That dictated the width, or rather the depth of the building. Because a simple shed roof. So I don't want to have two layers of sheet metal. I just want enough depth for the one layer of sheet metal. Layer of sheet metal, then you subtract about 4 inches. That's the length of your rafters, so that the sheet metal overhangs the rafters by a couple inches on either side. the width of the building is dictated by partly by how many pieces of sheet metal I have and therefore how much width I can cover, and partly by the length of the beams that I have, and partly by the space that the structure is in. And then you put your footings in the ground, in this case locust or cedar footings, and then you put your beams on top of it, your posts on top of those footings, and you bolt them into place, and then you essentially fasten a batten across, make the batten level, and that way the roof is going to be level even though the bottom of the structure is not level because the ground changes underneath it. So rather than try and make the ground perfect and then build a level thing on top of that, which is what most modern work does, instead I'm floating a perfectly level roof on top of uneven ground by figuring out where the beam should be to make the beam level regardless of what's going on the ground, right? So I need a level for that, but you could have done that with a rock and a piece of string, you know, and a wooden right angle thing to figure out where plumb was and then therefore where level is. And then the placement of all the things is by eye. You know, it has a certain amount of sort of internal structure, and all of that internal structure is done by eye. And in some instances, I've been using the level to put the level on the piece of wood to try and get a crossbeam level. But you know what? Some of these 2x4s have a bit of a bow to them. So depending on where you put the level and depending on how bowed the piece of wood is, it might not actually look level when you step back and look at it. So a much better way to do it is to do it in such a way that you can eyeball the house in the distance and then just make sure it looks level to the house. And that works really well, especially on a clapboarded house. You can just, you know, essentially line it up with the windows or the doors or the corner of the house. Make sure the posts look plumb to the corner of the house. And everything can just be made level in association with this other thing that you're going to be looking at. Because, honestly, that's what's going to make it look perfect. Now we have an old house and it's not perfectly plumb and level. It's not terribly far off, but the point is that you don't have to have a tape measure and to make everything measured out beforehand. You don't have to have a grand plan to build this way. You need to figure out what your limiting factors are, which often in my case is the sheet metal that I have or the beams that I have. And then you need to build in this particular way where you put in your footings, you create a level surface, if it's the floor or if it's the roof, and then you space things out intuitively. And, you know, it works really well. And it's such a more relaxed and fast way of building than trying to fuss the numbers. And I think it's important for us to remember that we don't need to fuss the numbers on everything in life. You know, it's like some music works well with sheet music. Other music, it just, as soon as you write it down in sheet music, you're just like, what? You know, it's A, it's hard to write down exactly what's going on in sheet music, and B, someone reading that sheet music would miss the soul of the thing. They would miss the experience. Part of the experience of playing that music is not playing it from sheet music. It's understanding how you layer up a, you know, instruments together in this musical tradition such that they play off of each other. It's not about reading sheet music. And I think we often forget this. So I would encourage you next time you're building something like a garden shed or something like that, or a playhouse, that's a perfect place to start. kid's playhouse. Don't measure things. Figure out how to build it so that you're just intuitively working within the constraints that you have, and then building from there, eyeballing things as you go, and make it as clean and true and square and all that as you possibly can by eye, because that will help prefab components like sheet metal fit. But let yourself experience the pleasure of not fussing over, you know, 16ths of an inch here and there. Building doesn't have to be about numbers. It's about proportions and relationships. And honestly, that's what life can be about as well. It doesn't have to be about the numbers. It can be about proportions and relationships. Thank you for listening.